Welcome to SideQuest, where we are going to do a deep dive about Kingdom Hearts, the good, the bad, and the
Don't you mean the good, the bad, and the worst, meaning Kingdom Hearts 3?
We're getting ahead of ourselves here. But the subtitle for this episode is going to be called Sora Got Goku.
Sure did. Can't wait for 4.
I can't wait for Sora to just start flying without needing to have any powers or anything. Just because he can believe. I wonder, doesn't he get like Metroided like every single time too?
Metroided?
Yeah, where like you start the game with 0 powers, and you know, even if you have like a history, like you'll sometimes they'll even do it where like they'll show you like all the powers and you'll have all the powers, and then point in the game comes and then all those powers get taken away from you, and then you have to get them back like piece by piece.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he always restarts in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think in Kingdom Hearts they don't do it like they don't show you all the powers first. Like it's very gradual. It just starts from nothing.
And then you eventually surpass it later in the game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I think Kingdom Hearts 1 is probably a good place to start. I think Cal and I have talked about before how, you know, compared to some of the other titles in the franchise, like, it's a lot clunkier than I, you know, even in 60 frames per second on, like, a PS4, like, back then, or even now on the PC, because you can get it on Steam now. Which took for fucking forever, and it just feels a lot more clunky than some of the other titles. And I think that was wait, is my fucking Roomba going off right now?
Roomba talks to you.
Stop asking me for help. What was I fucking saying? Oh yeah,
Kingdom Hearts 1 clunky.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 1 was pretty clunky, so comparatively, but
yeah,
I think it was still like a really great foundation. I think, you know, 2 does what most games aren't trying to do nowadays, which is basically just build upon it. But starting with Kingdom Hearts 1, I like to think about some of the moments that I really enjoyed. We don't have to necessarily be like chronological about it. Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But I think something that sticks out to me was like going to Merlin's castle the first time.
Yeah.
Because you had to like use the fire door to get in, and I didn't know what I was a dumb kid. Like, I had no fucking clue what anything was. Like, what's context? And it was like, this door is cool. What is this fire symbol door, dude? Like, I wonder if I'll find out one day. It took me way too long as a kid to figure out what the fuck that was. And I was stuck for a long time because of it. I was like overpowered.
The Trinity symbols is what like confused me. I kept seeing them. Like, how do I deal with these? And it took me a long time to realize like how to work them, or maybe it was to get the ability to work them. It's been so long since I played it, but yeah, there was just going to all the different worlds and seeing everything for the first time, and it was you know linear, but it felt very fun to explore what they gave you to explore. So it never felt like the railroad never felt like it wasn't scenic or like fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will say what you said about movement though. Yeah. It didn't age well. It's the clunkiness, I believe, comes from it's almost too tight. Like you tell it to do something and it like, does it so fast in such a jerky motion that it's like all the games after that are much more floaty with how things work. And there's like more forgiveness about getting onto a ledge or barely missing something or be able to like correct yourself in the air. You jump and you jump a very fixed, specific distance in a specific way on Kingdom Hearts 1, I noticed, compared to 2.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes me think about like the way that it was designed, it was probably designed like to where it made you finish the animations for each attack before you could do the next one.
Yeah.
I think that's what ended up happening. And that, because in 2, you can literally restart flipping your 2 keyblades around while you're floating in the air. And you don't really know what the fuck, like that's, there's a charm to that. But you, at some point, it's like if you looked at it and try to analyze it, you don't really know what the fuck's going on. Like what Sora's doing, he's just like floating and the blades are spinning. Like,
yeah, 2 is good for button mashing and still required some level of strategy, but there was definitely a lot more like definitely way more comboing and just nonsensical. Check out this power creep into this power creep into this power creep. As opposed to, I think one was more methodical, just simpler system, really, I think is why.
Oh my God. Is Kingdom Hearts 1 the Dark Souls of Kingdom Hearts?
No, because the Dark Souls of Kingdom Hearts is 3, because it's the Dark Ages. Oh, we're not there yet. Sorry.
We're not there yet.
And the hardest to get through.
Yes, sir.
We're not there yet. So I guess we can just stick with like 1 and 2 and just flip flop between them.
Where do you want to get to 2? It's just a...
Yeah, it's just such a good game, dude. Just compare like let's maybe we can try to glean some sort of like summary of a story for Kingdom Hearts 1 to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
I got this. Hold on, I got this.
Okay, I'll let you take the floor.
Light, darkness, light, darkness, dark, night, darkness. Riku, Kairi, darkness, light. There you go.
Oh, that's
no,
true.
Goofy.
Oh, you almost forgot. Kingdom Hearts is light. What?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The story in that is just very much a boy's world is destroyed. He's destined in some way. Don't know why, because we haven't played the chronological nightmare that is the rest of the games. But yeah, whisked away to unknown world, wants to get his old world back, old friends back, and you know, save what was his. Meeting new friends along the way, new allies, gaining new powers, just almost like kind of a coming to age story where he just wants to go back to his island. I think that's pretty, in simplest terms, that's what it is, outside of all the darkness, light, whatever. It's just good versus bad for the most part.
Yeah, it sounds to me like a classic case of like the grass is always greener.
Yeah.
And I think everyone there was always like, man, I wonder what other worlds are. And they always use the word worlds. Like, yeah. I wonder what other worlds are like. And it's just like, whoa. Yeah, I wish I was in a different dimension too.
Kid, you're 9. Titus, get back to throwing your stick. You stop talking about this. What do you mean, what's my greatest fear? What?
Do they straight up ask you
that? Yes, when you're in the very beginning.
I think they ask, like, and like one of them's like getting old, and it's like, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, and also depending on your answer, sometimes they would give you like, they dismiss what you would say. You'd say, getting old, or like, getting old, that's not scary. It's like, oh yeah, you're right. My fears are unfounded. Thank you.
Yeah, way to deny my... You're not letting me live my truth, dog.
It's a pretty
not
dark
only
intro.
That, apparently that had some way of determining how hard the game was going to be, too. Like, you had to, like, you could figure it out by looking up a guide, but depending on your answers, determine, like, how certain things would happen in the game or scaling. And, like, what, like, sword, shield, or magic wand you picked and got rid of.
True.
Which really, that game was really the fuck, marry, or fight of our childhood.
Pretty much. Because like you could have like high magic fuck and high attack, but you would have low defense. So you would just get your shit wrecked. You're a glass cannon.
Yeah, I think I always took... I think I took magic most of the time, and then I threw out the shield. Because I know bitch.
I was a brute, so I always got the attack and the defense, because like I was always just swinging. I hardly ever use magic, except when I play it more recently, I use a lot of magic. But back then, I didn't use a lot of magic at all. I was just like swinging.
I was always 50-50 until I realized how broken magic was as an adult. Like, reflect in the second game is like, it's just game-breaking.
Especially... I think there's a fight with the Ice Titan that you get and you have to use block. And before then, I only rolled, so I didn't really know how to time like a block or anything like that. So for the longest time, I never knew how to beat the Ice Titan because you have to. There's like one specific attack that you have to that he does that you have to block specifically, and it's like this huge attack where he like slams his fist into you or something like that. and but it leaves them wide open to like a whole bunch of shit. So it's nice to do that, but if you don't, then you get your shit wrecked. So but those are the fights that make like Kingdom Hearts interesting, though, is like all the secret battles, all the I think the Colosseum is fair to say it's like really fun. I think,
yeah, you'd go back to a planet and go like, what is this new door or what's this new cutscene or NPC? Why is this guy staring out at the horizon? Who is he? Oh, it's Sephiroth and I'm dead now. Okay.
Yeah. Like, who the fuck is that? And those are, you know, some of the toughest bosses that you can, like, even at level 99. I mean, it's definitely a lot easier at level 99, but like, at the same time, facing that boss just requires a large amount of dedication to like the movement and like being able to dodge everything and learning his attacks like directly. It was one of the first like real challenges that you're kind of like given in that way, where it's more of a provocative like kind of battle where, you know, you're encouraged to go after him, but if you get too close, he's just gonna fuck you up. So you have to time it like so specifically. The thing from fucking Zelda, it's one of the only other things that I can think of before games like Kingdom Hearts that had more provocative combat where there's an equal amount of risk, basically. Or in Sephiroth's case, you are definitely at a greater risk, which is it's pretty uncommon unless you play the game on like the hardest difficulty. That's kind of how I look at that. But I think some of my favorite levels in Kingdom Hearts 1, I'll go ahead and start there. I'll probably say, like, especially as a kid, I think the main reason I bought Kingdom Hearts 1 was to play the Nightmare Before Christmas level. Because I always wanted to, like, fucking interact with Jack Skellington in some way or, like, just be part of that world because I love that, like, movie
Sora's
as a kid.
Outfit was awesome.
Dude, the costume changes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Those
fucking,
are cool.
Yep. So cool, like especially like Donald as a fucking mummy.
Oh yeah,
and all their portraits look like hard, except for Sora because he's like smiling still. But like Donald and Gibby look fucking twisted.
Yeah, I liked all of the worlds. I think Neverland didn't really stick with me. I wasn't a big fan of the flying around and stuff like that too much.
Oh,
but I really just like the beginning, just all the stained glass art of all the princesses. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Right into Destiny Island, which is this like quaint little island where it's just peaceful and you're just sparring with your friends. And then Traverse Town, the music, like that. Oh, I still play that just randomly just to like calm myself down or just have a peaceful time. I love Traverse Town, the look of it. I mean, all the Disney worlds were great. Like, don't get me wrong, but just like the very first few unique places were amazing. It's and
very creative.
It's just so good. And coming back to the Colosseum for new fights every few worlds, just oh man, it was good times.
Best way to grind as well.
Yeah,
like you lost out on a lot of money, but you would level up quick and. That was worth it. But the only other thing that really sucks about that is that if you had spent that time, like if you only did the Colosseum for what you needed to, and then you spent the rest of that time like basically grinding in other worlds for like resources and like crafting items and shit, you would get the Ultima Sword so early. But because you have to like level up to face a lot of the challenges, it's just easier to do that until like level 80 and then go grind for fucking crafting items to build the Ultima Sword. And I'm going to be the first to admit right now, I still haven't done that. Like, personally, I've been meaning to. I was replaying it for like a while back. Now that I think about it, I feel like it was like March when I was replaying one. And I was trying to, I really wanted to like 100% everything. I got to like Hollow Bastion a little bit after that. And I think I'm like right before the end of the game, actually. But now I'm trying to get the Ultima Sword now. And it's so difficult for me to like have to figure out like which monsters have this. And it's only if they spawn in this arrangement. And like, the fucking, like, you have to look up a guide if you actually want that. But I know a friend that blew through it and was able to get that like pretty easily. And I remember seeing it and I was just like, damn, It's like, this is just straight up the best sword in the game. Like, goddamn.
Yeah, I went all out in 2 to get everything. In 1, I just, I don't know, when I was younger, when I first played 1, I just played to play like any kid would, got through with it, done with it, and on to 2, and played 2 a lot more. I don't remember, I've never been, once I beat a game, I don't usually see a point of going back and getting all the best equipment. When, like, the best equipment's harder to get just because you have to grind it, even though you already beat all the challenges in the game without it. I've always thought that was kind of weird. 2, especially 2 Remix, oh man, I went hard. I went for every achievement. I went back, got everything, because there was a lot of post-endgame stuff that you kind of needed all the best of the best. Like, you needed the, like, silver final form. I can't remember what it's called.
I know what you're talking
about. And
then
you needed Master form, I think it was called. You needed that. You needed the 2 best Keyblades because, like, the hidden fights of the Organization 13 members, like their upgraded versions, they weren't fucking around. Like, you needed to know your stuff and come in prepped. And Lingering Will, you don't have Ultima, spanks you.
Yeah, dude. Man. I've only fought that guy, like, a couple of times because my friend had him on his, like, save file on, like, an emulator. And I could hardly touch that fool. I reached the mysterious guy, like, in Kingdom Hearts 1 in Hollow Bastion. I still haven't beaten him. Like, I'm just gonna come back when I'm stronger. Like, I just have to go grind and get the sword and all that shit.
Yeah, I beat all the hardest fights, but it took a very long time. For sure.
Yeah, 2, this time when I get to 2, I haven't fought a lot of those bosses, like all of the Organization 13 members that you get to fight into. Mm-hmm. I never, except for the ones that were in like the base game, I didn't get to fight those other ones. So that's what I'm pretty excited for, because I'm definitely going to get like Master Form like as soon as possible. Especially like, I remember like doing near like the end of the game, and back when I was a kid, of course, but like the end of the game where you would be like right at the boss, and then you would have trouble with some of these other bosses, and then just going back and instead of just like leveling up your forms, which would give you like different powers, like one would give you like magic boosts, one would give you like attack boost, one would give you speed boost, but Master was like the best of all worlds. So
yeah,
so much so that you would like get, you would start floating and like your movement was greatly increased.
You like ascended, literally. You like just became a god, essentially.
Yeah, it's literally just like a short form god mode almost, except I mean you can still die. And then there's also that one extra form where like it was like once every 8 times or so, once every 4 times, I think,
like the darkness form.
Yeah, and you're just like,
yeah,
you can do a lot of damage, but you take a lot of damage. So
yeah, you're all in their face and it's not as floaty, it's much more dangerous. But I just remember you'd have to, like, you could essentially be super, super powered for the first bit of the fight between forms and magic and everything. But once you ran out of resources, you're like, either got to use items or rely on your allies to heal you and stuff, or get your drive back up. There was resource management in that game, and, like, you had to juggle your forms on long fights. Like, Lingering Will is, like, a solid, like, I think it's, like, a 7 or 8 minute fight. So yeah, you're not just being a god the whole time. So that's something I loved about that game and some of the bigger fights.
Mm-hmm.
You could just use an attraction to kill everything every time. What game was that that you could do that in?
Yeah, that's what I just did not feel challenged.
Nope.
And the story felt weird.
Are you talking about Kingdom Hearts 2 right now?
Actually, no.
I think it's about 3. Is that what I was talking about too?
Wait, yes, what? 3.
I think so.
God,
yeah.
Terrible game, by the way.
Guys, we'll have our fun. We'll have our fun.
All right.
Oh, yeah, we're
all
not
right.
There yet.
We're not there yet. I loved all the forms. They were really cool. All the Keyblades looked awesome. I loved using different Keyblades.
Okay, what was a shortcoming of 2? What would you say was a shortcoming?
Overshadowed 1 and 3. Let those games have some of the spotlight, damn it.
A little selfish for the spotlight, you're right.
Yeah, selfish.
Did you guys enjoy all of the gummy ship missions?
Oh, dude, gummy ship is so freaking cool. And that was one good thing about Kingdom Hearts 3. But yeah, like built on that so well. I loved just having a big wall, just a 1x50 wall of blocks that just is all guns in the front. I can't see the front of the ship. All I know is there's a shit ton of lasers going out and beating the shit out of everything in front of me. It was so cool. So fun.
Yeah, I loved stacking guns on top of each other as many as you could. I wish they didn't have a limit. Like, I don't think there was. I don't think there was a limit in one. Wasn't there a limit in two or three or something like that?
I don't remember.
It was pretty generous because there was ways to upgrade it, and like there's like secrets you can get to make your gummy ship like bigger and stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah. I feel like the max for me then was like 6 guns. So like you could have any 6 type of guns, you know, like you have 6 heavy guns, 6 medium guns, but I would usually mix range with like power. Like the closer that you got to me, like the more damage I would be doing. So I'd start with light and that would travel the farthest. The medium would travel, you know, medium range. And then by the time the heavies would be around, like you're probably either already dead, but if you're not, then you're going to be like, it's just inevitable. But I like the gummy ship aspect of just like using it just like as a player, just because it's the closest thing to me that like Star Fox was. And that's kind of not even a fair comparison because like Star Fox, I feel like is just way more cinematic and way more engrossing. But it was the closest thing that you had, especially after the N64 era. Like we didn't get too many of those games.
Flaw, problem. I'm going to say it and you're going to immediately all agree and go like, oh yeah, I forgot about that because you buried it.
Mm-hmm.
Atlantica.
No.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, I didn't like that. It does take a lot of time too.
Yeah,
it takes a lot of time
because it was so long.
Yeah, it's like all of our voices going down.
Yeah, like, this is the time to bring the energy down.
Atlantica.
Music, and I had to go back there. I remember reading a comment on, I think it was like Reddit or something, and someone said like the devs were like basically fucking with us because people complained about water combat in the first game. So like, all right, you don't have to do combat in the second game. They just made it all musicals. It was awful.
which you know is crazy because like if you think about it, they kind of had the swimming combat already down. It just wasn't considered swimming. I think it was considered flying. I think they should have made it more like that. And they do to a certain extent, but it's definitely not as fluid. And I feel like that's the reason why the Atlantis in the first game is kind of looked down upon for its combat. It is, you know, the same thing with the rest of the game. Every attack, every swing has to finish before you can hit the next one. So they could have easily fixed that. So that I agree is what I'm saying is that they probably were just fucking with you. But that's just how I'm going.
I love the, I was going to say Beast Companion, but that was back in one. Just a side note.
Oh, I love
Beast as a companion.
Wasn't he in two? I thought he was. I'm pretty sure he was in two.
He probably is. I forget when.
Which one?
Beast in Kingdom Hearts 2, was that a thing?
I forget.
Yeah, so he plays a major role in Kingdom Hearts and Kingdom Hearts 2 as an ally to Sora and his friends.
Oh yeah, you fight the blade, the guy with like all the wind blades. I can't remember the name. I know they all have X's in Organization 13. You are about to leave the world and you go out to the bridge and you fight the guy that has all kinds of wind blades and stuff like that.
So, I can't remember their names either, dude. I know they all have an X, but
I mean, there's Zarya. There's, Zaldin.
Zaldin.
His name. There's Zehanor. I mean, just hard.
It follows the theme. Okay.
Well, I liked how all their names were, anagrams with an X added in of their base names. That was kind of cool. A lot of them, Birth by Sleep.
Roxas. See, oh, and that's something that I'll go ahead and admit right now too. I feel like I touched Birth by Sleep, but I never finished it by any means. I feel like maybe I got like 3 hours maybe into Birth by Sleep, but I did watch all of 358 and a half days, I think is what it was. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And whenever I like sparked that game up, I was like, damn, there's no way that this whole game is just something that you watch. But apparently it was pretty different on the original release. So that's, I think that's why I was like insanely surprised about it.
Yeah, I think that's something all of us are probably going to have to, like, when we're talking about each game, we probably haven't played every single game all the way through, and a lot of us only had access to it after it was remade and whatnot. Like, I'm pretty sure we already talked enough about Kingdom Hearts, like, 1. I mean, 2, I think most people just agree it's the best. It's well done. You can't find a lot of flaws in it. The forms were cool. The transformations, the story was getting more complex, but was still like manageable. It just, yeah, everybody has two halves basically, and this organization is one half and they're going for Kingdom Hearts. It's still, you get still wrap your head around it. Even as a kid, I wasn't confused.
What is Kingdom Hearts?
It's like a moon or something.
I'll take
the world
it.
That ever was, super cool world. Love the aesthetic. Makes no sense, but because it never was there, but it's cool.
Yeah, it's like the land before time, a time before time.
Yeah.
So,
vague phrases.
Anything else to say about Kingdom Hearts 2?
Great. I think playing that final battle with Riku was fucking cool. I think that was a really good like story beat that. That really solidified, like, that for me was like, yes! Like, we're fucking beating the shit out of, I was gonna say Salem.
Ansem.
The fuck is Ansem?
Ansem.
Fucking handsome Ansem.
Yeah, there was a lot of moments I was just yelling at my screen, like emotional, like, happy and, like, really into one not. So.
Especially with like whenever one of them gets like knocked down and you just start playing as Riku and you're like and then you play as Riku for like 10 seconds and the weirdest part is that like if you man, they, I don't know why they didn't do this, but like they fleshed him out, they gave him a completely different moveset, and yeah, you can only use it for those like 20 or 30 seconds, and
for real,
it's kind of crazy to me. Like, you could have easily integrated a co-op mode into Kingdom Hearts, and it would have been like one of the top 10 games of all time. Like,
for real.
I'm so serious. Like, you had, what the fuck? Square is, I think, has always been known for like making some weird decisions. But I think like the reason why Kingdom Hearts is just so memorable to a lot of people is because there's a lot of weird decisions that were made in that game from the story, from the mechanics, and like even down to just like mixing Final Fantasy characters with Disney characters. Like, no one thought of that except for some guy in an elevator one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That lived with like there, it was Square and Disney. They each had one office somewhere that they shared, and then they fucking two executives just pass it on to each other. And then we just have this weird thing now.
It's so weird.
It's delightfully weird.
Yeah,
like it's also okay. Now, and I'll say this too. It's like I love Kingdom Hearts. Painter is the only one that has ever seen me like actually play Kingdom Hearts, and yeah, that's because I feel like if you're like playing Kingdom Hearts and then like someone like walks in, like you someone know. That you like someone that's like not your close friend, right?
Yeah,
and they walk in and Sora's like, Riku.
You see Donald Duck and Goofy walking around.
It's just like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like, it was friendship. Like the first time I tried showing my sister's friends when I was a kid, like my Pokemon cards. They're like, what the fuck are these Pokemon cards, dude? Like, they're like trying to act cool and shit. But it's like, at the same time, it's like when you look back at it and you watch it and you're just like, what the fuck?
Well, it's just like you're watching anime and it's like all action and fighting and cool, and then the one scene comes up where the girl's like, oh, yeah, and her like fan service tits are out, and then your mom walks in and it's like, no.
Yeah, it's not what I'm watching. It's just this part.
Watching for the plot, Mom, I swear.
That represents you. Are you Sora? Do you relate to Sora? Are your feet big like his?
Dude, that's an art thing. Yeah, the shoe size in those games was nuts. They toned it down two a little bit and worn three, but one? What the hell?
Okay, but isn't Sora the only one with like huge feet? Doesn't Riku and Kairi have like more normal size?
No, they're big
feet?
Too. Not as big, but they're big.
I mean, I feel like Sora's wearing like Goofy's shoes when he's like walking around. Like they're like big, they're like Pac-Man shoes. They're big fucking Pac-Man shoes, except they're yellow.
So the only time we see Sora's feet is in the preview for 4.
What?
That's right. I just looked it up. I did look up Sora's feet. Now it's in my search history.
It's like you have to set your computer on fire now. I don't know, man.
That's true.
Kind of cooked.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
It's over for me.
What did you guys think of the preview for 4? I guess it's like a teaser more than anything.
I thought it was cool.
Looked cool, but I'm just so out of, I don't know, if everyone starts playing it and they're like, oh my god, they fixed all the issues from 3 and the story made sense. I can't even say that straight. Yeah. Just like, I'll just like plow my head into 3 and figure it out and finish it, but I don't know, I'm so far removed from Kingdom Hearts at this point. That was like 7 year, the amount of time it took to even get 3 and how disappointed I was. That was 7 years ago and I'm still pissed. So
I wonder like if Kingdom Hearts 3 had come out like 2 years after Kingdom Hearts 2, would it still be a good game?
Don't know.
I think they needed a lot of the in-betweens to fix the, did they, though? Did they really? I don't think they did. I think they actually overcomplicated with all those games. Yeah,
honestly,
I'm
pretty sure they lost money on that franchise because of all those fucking side games.
Yeah, if they were just released like a year or two after, just like they did 1 and 2, yeah, I think it would have been way better. They kind of shot themselves. They wrote themselves into a weird-ass corner with all the in-between games that were all hit or miss and
on different systems.
Mm-hmm.
On completely different systems for different companies, you know, like what the fuck is Chain of Memories, dude?
Yeah.
That's that has to be one of the worst games I've ever played. I'm sorry.
I've never played it.
I got more than halfway through it. And then I remember talking to one of my friends about it and they were like, oh yeah, you can just watch all the scenes on YouTube.
Are you talking about Chain of Memories or Re-Chain of Memories?
I'm talking about the one that came with the remix for like on the all-in-one pack.
So apparently, I never played the original. I kind of wish I got to because apparently it was actually good because it was like a card game for like the handheld. It was actually like, you know, it was good on what it came out for. And
I still can't believe that. Because like the cards are so frustrating and limiting, and I understand like what they were trying to do with it. Like it makes Kingdom Hearts a game where you think a little bit more. But I think that's the kind of thing that just like you're not going to be able to branch out into something like that. And that's such a different system too, especially for the time. And like albeit like innovative, I guess in a way, like. For the time, but I don't know, like, and this is completely coming from someone that didn't play the original, and I also wish I got to, because maybe I'll have different feelings about it, but if it's anything like what I played in Re-Chain of Memories, then that
it's not has it's to be literally like more awful. Of a strategy card game. It's way, way different. It makes sense. They tried to make it work in a action like RPG thing where it's like more real time, and it just did not translate well. And apparently the story was cool too. You like battled through this awesome castle where you're slowly losing your memories. It all sounds awesome to me, and I was so excited to play it. But I started playing Re-Chain of Memories and I was like, wow, this is I was so hyped because I heard so many good things about the original Chain of Memories, and it's apparently just nothing like it. It's really bad.
For those who don't know, the basic gameplay loop in Chain of Memories is that you're Sora. You play as Sora just like in 1. So it's basically modeled after 1, the remake is, or re-Chain of Memories. And you have this combat system, which is drastically different than what was in 1 or in any of the other games, really, which I find to be needlessly complicated. And it kind of just detracts from like the overall movement and the action that you're supposed to get from playing Kingdom Hearts. I think it slows it down by a ton. And I don't even think that it's because, like, whether you're good with numbers or bad with numbers or bad at card games and things like that, I just feel like it slows down the experience like to such a degree that like it's a slog to get through. And every single fight is like, it's not even fun. It's a chore. Like, oh my God, now I have to. And they also teach you like how to like build your deck to make it where you don't, where it's not as slow. But in the end, like, you're never going to be any faster than what you were in 1. Like, at the absolute best scenario where you're just able to slam A the entire time. Because you can make it that way. But I didn't find it to be like any sort of a satisfying experience. And I really tried because I was like, I really wanted to beat it.
So to add to that, Birth by Sleep, you hadn't played that much, which I think might be part of it. Birth by Sleep also had like a deck builder sort of thing for your abilities and whatnot, but it was so fluid and it worked perfectly in combat. It was one of the best. It was such a good combat system. I loved how they did Birth by Sleep, and it was different than 2 and 1. And I feel like they kind of tried to style re-Chain of Memories after that, because it was the closest to a card game. Like, it's super loose comparison. But yeah, I really think you should play Birth by Sleep, because you'll see that system done 100% right.
Okay. I mean, definitely like something that I want to do. I didn't stop for like any particular reason. I think I just like ended up doing something else. But I didn't hate Birth by Sleep. I just didn't get through it. I'll definitely revisit it. I want to beat the shit out of 1. I want to beat the shit out of 2. And then I probably am never going to beat Chain of Memories. It's just too much. And then I do want to play Birth by Sleep, because I want to do get like the full context of whatever everyone's talking about, like story-wise. Because I always did kind of feel left out. I also don't blame myself.
Yeah.
Because of the way that it was spread out. So the story, I mean, through like different consoles and stuff. So I don't feel that bad about it. But at the same time, I feel like if you're going to be modernizing a game and you're going to be re-releasing it, you should have found a way to make it more fluid. And I think they missed their opportunity with Re-Chain of Memories, especially, you know, like because it's in 3D, and especially like it was after, like way after Kingdom Hearts 1 is whenever they did the remake. I don't know. Like, I think everyone should try it. Everyone should definitely try it. I'm not going to say not to play it, but just if you want to be critical about it, okay. I did kind of lose my train of thought.
That sounds like a title of a Kingdom Hearts game.
Trains in Kingdom Hearts.
Train of thought.
The train of memories.
The train of memories.
You said you weren't, you didn't stop playing for any reason. You just got busy with other stuff, and you would revisit it. Chain of Memories, 3D space.
Oh yeah. So basically, I just feel like with so much time having moved ahead for Chain of, like, since the original game of Chain of Memories between the remake, and especially having to convert it into a 3D, you know, game, which I'm sure wasn't easy. You know, like I do give them credit for that, but at the same time, when you have a budget like you do for Kingdom Hearts, and I'll take being ignorant on like how much was spent creating the remake, I feel like you still should have had the design down, or at least refined to a point where like every other player would be able to enjoy it, especially because you don't want to create such a niche game like that in a series that does so many things for your fans. In my opinion, another example of that would probably be like the Metal Gear. Like, there was like a PSP game, like Peace Walker, I think. I'm not talking shit about it because I didn't even play it, but I know that it was supposedly like drastically different So I don't really have like an opinion on it, but I do know that. And I would be curious if you, if anyone wants to share their comments, audience or us, about like how that game went for them or anything like that. But, you know, when you have such an experienced team and everyone in that team knows what Kingdom Hearts feels like, I just don't see how it would be that difficult to translate it. But I didn't play Birth by Sleep. I got like, I feel like 3/4 of the way through Chain of Memories. You see how that number is going up? But yeah, I don't know. Anything else by about like Birth by Sleep, though?
Never played it.
I just
feel left out, yeah.
I have a special place in my heart for it because I like the characters. I like that it was way before Kingdom Hearts and gave us like lore, essentially, like a grounding point for it that still was kind of making sense. And the Keyblade armor was really cool, just the way Keyblade Wars worked, like all the lore behind that. It was just a really good, it was fun to deep dive into all the information. And I mean, Xehanort eventually becoming 13 of himself, the time traveling stuff pisses me off, but just if they could have just kept it streamlined and just one timeline, I think Kingdom Hearts could have been so much cooler and easier to understand. Because what's so bad about a big bad getting an organization together out of like halves of like the bad halves of people and stuff like that, and everybody having two halves to themselves, to their soul? Like, what was so difficult to understand about that, and having this Kingdom Hearts being some obscure thing everybody's chasing, almost like a philosopher's stone? Was that really such a bad storyline? Now, why do we have to start time traveling and then having like different versions of what a nobody is? And either way, back to Birth by Sleep. Really cool foundation, really cool lore, awesome battle system, and has one of my favorite genres for movies and stuff are anthologies, where the story, it shows you bits of all the different stories and how they overlap through the whole movie, and it all kind of comes to a head at the end where you see how it all ties together for the finale. I love that. I think it takes a lot of planning to do stuff like that, and that game is that, because each character you play, you see how their journey is influencing the other character's journey and what might have happened in the world before your character got there because of another character getting there. So cool. Yeah, it's really, really good. And each character had like its own boss fight and like it was its own mini story. The worlds were cool, but yeah, that's pretty much all I got to say about Birth by Sleep. I definitely feel like I'm obviously the one that played the whole thing, so that's all I got to say about that. I mean,
sounds
what
like you recommend
so
it.
It's, I would say, I mean, Kingdom Hearts 2 is my favorite for sure, and Birth by Sleep is very, very much by far the closest second out of all of the different Kingdom Hearts games. Which I think we've talked about most of them. We talked about 1, Chain of Memories, 2, and Birth by Sleep. Anybody play Coded?
No.
No.
Okay. That was a mobile phone game.
Oh. Yeah. Didn't they hide like essential lore behind that too?
So that was,
I think I remember hearing something about that.
Yeah, let me remember here. Coded was an actual game, wasn't multiplayer, a massive multiplayer. It was an actual game. Everything was like a digital world sort of thing for Kingdom Hearts. I never played it. I watched all the cutscenes for it, though.
Isn't that the one with the chibi models,
okay,
too?
It was a very puzzle-heavy game. Yeah, it was their puzzle game, which, have you noticed, every Kingdom Hearts game has its own thing. Kind of Chain of Memories is their card game. Coded is their puzzle game. Shit like that. Mm-hmm. But no, Kingdom Hearts Mobile, I think it was just called Kingdom Hearts Mobile. That was their mobile game where they had the essential lore, which is like the Keyblade War, like the beginning of the Keyblades, is where that was hidden behind.
Hmm.
I think it was just mobile. Kingdom Hearts Union Cross. That's what it was called.
Union Cross. That rings a bell.
I played it. Cool game, but holy monetization and lack of support. I quit playing very quickly. I didn't spend any money on it. But, man, I looked up all the lore for it because between that and Birth by Sleep, what a cool foundation for a game. Too bad they bastardized it. Kingdom Hearts 3.
Did someone say Kingdom Hearts 3?
No, we don't talk about that. I think that's like all of the games. There's like one or two more mobile. 358 over 2, I never got to play. And that was.
What was that 2.5 thing? Or 2.8?
2.8 was.
What was part the second of disc?
Birth by Sleep.
Oh, okay.
And it was also more backstory with like a movie as well. Like the movie was. What was the movie? The movie was way before Birth by Sleep, I believe, like almost like Union Cross time. It was way back before then, though.
Well, I think we've yapped on long enough. And I think that we have some critical thoughts about Kingdom Hearts 3.
And how it debuffed the whole series.
Yes.
And how Sora got Goku'd. So yeah. I'll try to fill some gaps here. Anyone want to go first?
Actually, we missed a game.
Oh, which game was that?
Dream Drop Distance.
Dream Drop Distance?
That was remade on the 1.5, 2.5 re-releases. I heard it was fine. It was a little jarring because they kept forcing you to go between Riku and Sora at very random times, but it was the first game where you can fully play Riku through a whole campaign, essentially. I was heavily burnt out by playing all the prior ones though and fully completing two, so I don't think I gave Dream Drop Distance enough of a try, but I heard it was fine. But yeah, I never played it. I don't remember what it's about either.
Well, there you go.
That pretty much covers it. Dream Drop
Distance. Okay. Now Kingdom Hearts 3. God, we're supposed to be the experts on these. Why'd we do a whole episode?
Yeah, that's interesting. We ain't played these. I ain't played all the, I don't know, these extras.
Oh my God, man, we're stupid.
Got me chain of memory.
We're learning every day.
Yeah. I learned a lot about these in-between games today.
I learned a lot about Kingdom Hearts today, thanks to Cal. You're like the biggest Kingdom Hearts fan I know, Cal.
Not anymore. 3 to rip that out of me. But yeah, I'll let you guys start on 3 or whatever because I don't want to go on a tirade for fucking 30 minutes.
Okay, let's do this. Okay, because I just happened to understand like the order in which people quit. So I say that like Painter should go first. I'll go second. And then you can go third, Cal.
All right. So I played up to Traverse Town. Yeah.
that's so early, dude.
That's like the start of the game. and it was a sludge. And I only got to Traverse Town recently when I gave it another try. Because I was like, you know, I didn't give this game a fair chance when I quit for like 2 or 3 months after playing through Olympus. No, I only got halfway through Olympus before I like quit for those few months. And then I fought the Rock Titans. I learned about all the zip line sort of thing. And like where you just look up at some point and then you can drag yourself there. But God, I don't know. It gave me too many powers too soon. I already had so much overpowered stuff. I had the Disney rides and the cameras on the Rock Titan was kind of cool with the roller coasters. That thing looked pretty sweet. And that was a like really cool fight. I like the way they introduce worlds with the animated logos. They put a lot of work into it, but like I don't like Sora's personality. And I don't know if I just like haven't seen Sora in this seven so or 10 years since I played Kingdom Hearts. But he seemed different to me. He seemed like Goku, because also he has this power inside of him, this innate power only he has. And he's a lovable idiot. Bonk him on the head. And he's so silly, doesn't understand what's going on, but he's so important. And, like, this is Goku now.
Do you remember what that was called? Like the power that like only Sora has, that he's like the Deus Ex Machina. It had something to do with like controlling the light, I'm pretty sure.
Wait, yeah. He and Roxas. You know? I don't remember. It was something like, God, he can control both sides of his heart, like, at the same time? Or something?
That's badass. So, he has two wolves inside of him?
Yes, exactly. So, all I can do is speculate on what the fuck was going on.
True. You did not just say he has two... Oh, man.
Exactly.
This fucker just said that.
One has a structured settlement and the other needs cash now. Okay. So I think that's a fair assessment. You know, the game frustrated you so bad, it seemed to have this incredible effect to just repel you from everything. You were seemingly overwhelmed by all of the combat options, it seems like.
Yeah.
Sounds good on paper, you know?
Like, it gave me a lot. It gave me a lot to work with, and it wasn't challenging. And it just was boring. I could kill everything easy, and, like, I was not interested in the story, and they were looking for somebody, and, like, darkness in the hearts, and Riku is walking with Mickey through this dark cave, and they go back to the beach. And I'm just like, I don't care. Where are you going with this? You know, I don't feel like there is any sort of stakes or like any sort of goal. What are they doing?
That's a good point. I mean, like, I feel like, to be fair, it's a little early.
I quit so early.
But that being said, an assumption like that, in my opinion, just happened to be correct. Like, there's no, like...
Oh, no.
You just keep... No, I'll let you finish before I fucking go on my thing. But
okay. I played one Gummy Ship level. I did not like the fights, the Galaga, I think, style fights.
Yeah,
I thought it was lame, and I was bored, and it felt really slow. I wanted it to be over, the one I played. I wanted it to be done. And, I don't know, that's really the extent of my experience. You could like take a selfie with this like phone. Like, I don't care, yeah, man.
And the loading screens, they had like pictures that looked Instagram. Like Instagram. Yeah. And they had like hashtag Kingdom Hearts and like hashtag Riku, hashtag on the beach. Like,
yeah, that felt pandery.
Dude. No, I definitely felt out. What age was I when I was, I think I was like 24 or 23 when I got that game.
Yeah.
And then I was like looking at the loading screens and I was just like, I think I'm getting too old for this.
I'm actively getting more annoyed hearing you guys talking about this game.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't have a good time. That's as far as I got. Yeah. After that Gummy Ship level, it's Traverse Town. We fight one more thing in the middle of the town, and then the thing goes away and everyone's like, all right, we can come back outside and continue what we were doing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, if a game frustrates you like that, I mean, I guess it begs the question, like, how long will you try a game for before you will actually just be fed up with it?
Yeah. You
know, or is it a varying degree depending on, like, the lack of interest that it's drawing from you?
I wish it was frustrating. It was just boring.
Oh, see, and that's actually a really good point, because like when you love something, you know, you have to love something is effortless, but in its own way, it does take more effort to kind of do that. I don't know if I can make sense of that in a way, but like, yeah. I'm just saying, But to hate something is more inherent, to define things that you disagree with. So if you hated it, you know, that would still signify that, like, you still have some sort of strong passion for it in a way, in that you, whether it's like, you know, this game had so much potential or, you know, something like that.
I felt nothing.
Indifference has to be the killer of anything that, you know, indifference is like the art's worst enemy, you know?
Yeah.
Because if someone loves your art or hates your art, they're still showing a strong amount of emotion and they're reacting to your art in a strong way. But when someone's indifferent, it's as if I think to an artist, or as an artist, I would see it as like, I wasn't able to make a single difference in your life. I changed nothing about your perspective. I didn't reach you in any sort of emotional level. You know, there's, that has to be like an insane insult coming from you, Painter. Like, you're throwing so much shade at Squaresoft by saying that you're just completely indifferent.
Yeah, I would love to hate your game, but I'm sorry, it's boring.
Well,
I just want to say really quick, that's like when people say, I couldn't care less. I say, I could care less, but I'm choosing not to care less because I hate it that much. Like, I'm putting effort in it.
Yeah.
Spite. Yeah. Spite. That is spite. It's
lemon,
a beautiful thing.
Soda.
Spence, shut the fuck
wait.
Up.
That's dumb.
I could care less, but I'm not even going to bother to do so. That's what Painter said while Cynical's dying here.
Holy shit. Well, I'm gonna recount to the best of my ability my experience. So like I bought the $100 version of this game at like a GameStop. They had like a 7 o'clock release, you know, so like it wasn't like too late or anything like that. It was freezing fucking cold in Colorado, but I remember I was standing out there and there was just so many, it was a good amount of people for this small shop is what I'll say. I feel like it was almost like 100 people basically. Like it's a lot of people, but it doesn't seem overwhelming until like you're in line. Lots of people in costumes. Everyone's stoked about it. I'm stoked about it. 'Cause I'm like, holy shit, this is like one of those games. That's like, it was a fable. Like it's legendary only in its anticipation, you know, just similar to how like Silk Song recently was kind of like that for a lot of people. You know, this is a game that we never thought we would ever see. So obviously, like, we were all stoked about it. Pick up the $100 version. It comes with this like pin. It came with like a flag. I think the flag was just because I got it at GameStop, but it had Sora and Woody and Donald, I think. Or maybe, no, I think it was just Sora and Woody, and they were just like chilling. Facing towards the camera, arms crossed, like back to back, like I think something like that, or you know, it looks badass, you know. But yeah. I remember getting home. It's like a big fucking, you know, update that you have to install into your PS4. I got a PS4 Pro, almost, besides God of War. I got a PS4 Pro specifically for this game, and I pop it in, I get it on, I start going through the first level. I'm like, okay, like, damn, like, dang, these characters look good. This environment, I feel like, you know, it looks refined. And like, I kept running around. I was like, damn, I think I'm getting a little lost. Like, so this place is pretty big. This is in Mount Olympus, by the way, before the boss. I'm like, okay. I'll admit, I think in the beginning, it was, I felt like it was pretty fast paced, but there was a lot of room. I think it also had to do with like the music and all that. It just kind of kept that pace. You were also able to glide, I think, already by that time, which was strange to me because usually you don't unlock glide until at least like halfway through the game. So it felt kind of like the new Pokemon do for most people nowadays, where you can just do anything from the beginning. And I beat the first level. I was like, okay, like that Titan sequence is pretty cool. Doing the ride like the one time, like the roller coaster, I'll agree with you, Painter. It's like, it was probably like one of the highlights of that level.
Yeah.
Ironically, even though, you know, we're talking about a turret sequence, still pretty good, like in its presentation. So it was
just
like,
looked spectacular.
Right, right. Because I try to be careful about things like that too, because it's like the difference between fighting the rock giant in this game, and the difference between fighting the rock giant in Kingdom Hearts 2, I'm pretty sure is what I'm thinking about, or I think it's 1 or 2. It's very different. So definitely easier. Is it fun? If you don't mind turret sections and you're just looking to interact with, you know, Olympus, then it's a really, I still think it's a pretty good way to introduce the game. You get to like a couple of levels down and you start to learn more about the story. And like, you kind of figure out that like, yeah, they're kind of like looking for someone. I think it's Kairi. As someone's lost and they're looking for them. And so you start going to all these different worlds. You meet up with the guy at the Wizard's Tower and he's like, you have this special power. And it's like, really? And they're like, you have to learn how to unlock this power and control it, because if you don't, it will kill you. And Sora's like, what? And then Donald's like, what? And then fucking they start traveling from world to world. And the problem with like the loop of this game is that everything else between them then and then the rest of that intro that I just explained is literally, if you made a burger and you started with a bun, cheese, meat, and then another bun, that was literally all you got for every single, and like, I like cheeseburgers, right? But like at the same time, imagine eating 10 cheeseburgers in a row and expecting one of them to have ketchup on it, you know, like something different, something to give like an air of like originality or, you know, something challenging or something intriguing, something something that makes you think, something to be emotionally tied to. But what ends up happening is that you go into this world, main character of that world is like, oh, I have a problem. Will you help me? Sora and Goofy and Donald are like, fuck it. Why not? And then you like go in, fix the problem. And then at the end of that level, an Organization 13 member will come out, start talking shit, and then they leave. and then you do that 10 times. And by the time, the fifth time that it happens to you, I mean, I feel like I'm going fucking crazy here. And it doesn't make sense to me, like how you can repeat this story 10 times and then still call it, you know, call it good. You know, like what part of the story is supposed to be intriguing? Never even fucking mind the fact that like there are no goddamn Final Fantasy characters in here at all. The only characters that are outside of Disney that exist in this game are the ones that only exist in Kingdom Hearts, like as unilaterally, like the right word to say, like in this very condensed spot, you know, in Kingdom Hearts, just as that. If it existed in Final Fantasy, it was not in this fucking game. Which
there's really no Cloud?
Zero. There's no, what? They don't have a Sephiroth. They don't have a Cloud. You don't, I think there is a Colosseum, but you don't fight anyone. Like, you don't see Leon, you don't see Yuffie, you don't see Aerith, you don't see anybody. It's as if they don't even mention them. And whenever, like, they were central parts of, like, the other games and, like, leading up to this conclusion is because everyone in Kingdom Hearts, like those other Final Fantasy characters, they're literally sitting there during the first two games and they're like, what the fuck am I doing here? That's like their whole story. And when you don't have that kind of investment, it's just like, you know, this is a person that's lost in a, you know, deep space with these worlds that seem to just change so drastically with different physics and different, you know, characteristics for how society works and things like that. Like it doesn't make sense that you could go through all of this and still be like naive like Sora is, or be stupid like Sora is. Like they ruin his character by making him so naive and stupid that it's like it completely undermines the story completely, especially on top of the fact that, like, you know, I can stand a good like exchange between like a villain and like a hero, or like the other heroes, even like a side character. I can only think of one instance in that game where there was some sort of dialogue that actually made me react. And it was whenever you beat the spoiler alert, you beat the Toy Story level. One of the guys walks out and he's like, you fucking suck. And then Sora's like starting to walk up with his Keyblade, and Woody puts his hand and like kind of like pushes Sora back a little bit, and he's like, hold on. Like, he's like, let me ask you something. He's like, nobody's ever loved you before, have they?
Oh my God.
And I can't remember anything after that because I was just laughing so hard at what he just said to this guy.
Yeah, he's like, when he walks up, he's like, hold up, I got this. No, yeah, you. No, you, deputy.
Dude, it's so, it was just so crazy. Like, because I'm pretty sure they got the original voice actor to do that. And it sounded good. And it was just also just completely unexpected. Like, you would never think of Woody saying that.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, Woody.
Like, it's so like profound to me. Like, there's a meme going around where like Woody is like in a, like a tough, like rap song. It's like a, what is it called? Like horrorcore rap, basically. And so the joke is basically just like, his friends are like asking him for like forgiveness, and Woody's just like, I'll kill you. He's like, what? Calm down, Woody. Where are your friends? Shut up, Buzz. I'll kill you.
Yeah, you sent me that.
Yeah, I fucking good. Love that video. It's so That's stupid.
I wanted to add something to what you said. Tom Hanks does not voice Woody in that game, actually. Oh.
Okay, that's disappointing.
Tom Hanks' brother, I don't know what his name is, but basically Tom Hanks only voices Woody in the main Toy Stories. Any side projects, toys, games, anything, he lets his brother do it. So his brother has like a reliable job with income and gets gigs because they have like the same exact voice.
That's actually fucking cool. Wait, what's his brother's name?
Jim Hanks.
Hey, Jim Hanks.
But yeah, I learned that recently about Tom Hanks, that he does that. I could never tell because, yeah, I think it's very similar. Very spot on.
That's actually really cool. I didn't know that. Fucking W. Tom Hanks. But yeah, dude, like, the story is just so profoundly stupid to me, and it's pointless. Like, You don't feel like a sense of progression when you beat these levels at all. And so I think it takes away a lot of what made the original, like the one and two, I'm going to say. I struggle to even call them the original now. Isn't that fucking weird? It makes them just seem so well written. So like cohesive in comparison. So I remember, like, I think I'm trying to remember like what the order of the worlds that I was playing were, but I'll try to throw some positives in there. I think that the Monsters World or Monsters Inc. world was really pretty looking, and I thought like the cutscene sequences were actually really cool. I don't think the gameplay was that good because I can hardly remember it, but I did think that like whatever story. I remember liking the story. I couldn't tell you what the fucking story is, but like, I remember liking it. I think it's just because I like Monsters Inc. a lot, but I also didn't care for some of the other levels, and I like those movies too. I think the most egregious thing that, and I think this was covered a lot, like around whenever Kingdom Hearts 3 like originally released, was that there's a section in this game where you go into Frozen. And it's like the closest thing to like some sort of progression that you feel in the game, but it comes after the longest trudge of a level that you have ever played. If you haven't seen Frozen and you play that game, congrats. You have now seen Frozen because they make you watch the whole fucking thing, basically. And I think the other weird thing about these is that like these worlds, is that the stories that take place within them, like I think with there was a Rapunzel, I forgot what the fucking name is, but it's a Rapunzel world, and you are definitely like, so a lot of the games will make the point that you're not supposed to be in these worlds due to like fucking with the law of, you know, the butterfly effect or whatever the fuck, you know, you don't want to affect these worlds in a way to where it's detrimental and it loses its way. But you were still very deeply involved in what happens in these worlds in the older games. I feel like in these games, especially with like the Rapunzel level and 1000% with like the Frozen level, you are a bystander. You're literally just like watching these people play the movie. And then you're like, all right, let's go. And it's like, now we have to fight this gigantic thing. And I'm just going to stand here while you guys sort that shit out. Like, all right, just let me know
you're
done.
A lot of times it's like the main characters talking, not, you know, the main character of the game, main characters of the movie talking, and Sora and them are just in the background. And Donald's just going like, yeah, you can't do that. And Goofy's just like, gosh, that's bad. And Sora's like, huh?
Yeah, literally. He's like, what's going on? Aren't I supposed to be learning about light or something?
Yeah, Sora is perpetually confused by everything and just has like the deer in the headlights look until he just realizes, oh, wait, that's bad. I'm angry. That's pretty much Sora's entire personality is dumb to upset that it's happening and how are we going to fix it, but giving no real concrete way to do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like he's one David Hayter away from being Snake.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think David Hayter or Snake is dumb. Like, I love them.
Yeah.
I just think that, like, if you put that into context, you kind of see, like, their similarities just performed differently. Like, every time you talk about a new subject with Snake, he always has to repeat the subject itself. So the first example that you get in Snake Eater, Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, was whenever you're talking to an old friend that you used to train with, and she's just like, remember your CQC? And he's like, CQC? As if he didn't do like years of training like beforehand. He's like, what the fuck is CQC? He's like, and then, like, he has this, like, flashback, and he's like, oh, that's how CQC works. And it's like, okay. You know, it's since the first game, since the first Metal Gear Solid game, one of the most famous examples is probably the fact that he's just, like, Psycho Mantis. And, like, because it's just, like, a weird string of words to put together, but it's just hilarious that, like, anytime a new subject is brought upon, it is discussed with you, like, so blatantly, I would put it, that, like, it's campy in a way. Like,
yeah. So I brought that up to my friend, and he had said that's actually a translation thing, because in the Japanese language, that is something that you do. You say back what was said to you.
Oh, okay. So like basic conversational like skills.
Yeah.
Like,
just, I'm not sure why, I guess for like confirmation or like, but yeah, it is a translation issue. And then so it gets translated to English, and it just sounds really weird when you repeat back just like a keyword of some new information that you just got. Metal Gear.
Yeah, Metal Gear.
Yeah.
CGC. Yeah. I love that so much.
It's so good.
Oh, David Hayter is a treasure. But
translations can give us these treasures.
I didn't know that. At all. So that's cool.
Recently.
I mean, at least there's like some sort of rhyme or reason behind it, but I do kind of wish that it was still just like zany fucking
thing.
Writing. Yeah.
It's, yeah.
I'd love to think that it's just like, and there's an air of that still. Like, there's many things about
it's Kojima.
It's like, exactly. There's, you know, so many classic like action movie tropes and things like that. But back to Kingdom Hearts. Sora being the complete opposite of a well-developed character at this point. you basically, I think it was right after Toy Story is whenever I stopped, because I remember the next level, I couldn't tell you what the next level was, but I remember that I wasn't looking forward to it. And even though that I could see like some of the other levels that I wanted to see down the line, I was like, I can't fucking do this anymore. And I actually went and just like sold the game as soon as I could. Because I was like, I don't want to hold on to this. Like, I just can't. I can't, like, sit here staring at it. And the box that they give you for the deluxe version takes up, like, 3 or 4 DVD slots. Like, it's fucking wide. It's a lot. And it looks cool, you know, when you like it. Like, for the first 10 minutes. But then you just realize this is taking up so much space. And, I don't know. I was severely disappointed by it. I'm willing to give it another chance because so many people just say that they love it, but the attractions take up too much time in combat. It makes it too easy. You're sitting back the whole time and you're not involved in these fights more than half the time. And more than half the time, you can literally just press a button and you do so much damage with these attractions that, like, you don't have to know what's going on. And I think that that takes away the entire experience of, like, wanting to enjoy the combat in the game. Why add something like with summons in the previous games? They gave you, like, special powers and special perks to be able to, you know, do more damage or withstand more damage. I think of, like, Tinkerbell and fighting the flying death guy at the clock tower. Like, things like that, that gives you, like, a really good edge. But it's not overpowering. It's not balanced, but it's fun, you know? And that's kind of the point, is that I feel like the attractions have, like, a good intention behind them. Like, they're supposed to, you know, help you reminisce about, like, your time at Disney World or Disneyland, or, you know, make you think of your childhood and things like that. But I think it just takes up so much time that you are taken completely out of the experience and you no longer become invested in combat as a whole because of it.
Yeah, I would say the boat attraction. I remember.
Yeah, I remember that vehemently.
Every time I would use it, everything would die. I'd look for the biggest group of enemies and use it, and everything would die. And I would fight a boss, and I would use it, and it would instantaneously pretty much bring him to, like, half health or her or whatever. And I just remember in the previous games, I was like, okay, first I was going to this fight. I have to use my drive. I have to go to master form because obviously I already had it. It's the best thing. After master form, I think this will be the best summon to use. And then once that's on cooldown, then I'll start using all my magic. And by the time I'm done with my magic, my drive should be high enough to where I can use that again. And I'll probably have to bring a potion in the middle of this while I'm waiting for my summon to come back. Oh, wait, my magic's back. I'll use this really. It was cool. It was great. And yes, there was reaction commands. You hit triangle. But you had to actually react. You couldn't just go into the battle and just click it,
yeah,
or press it. Like, you actually had to, like, hope it comes up at the right time, or, like, set it up. Or when it happens, if you don't do it, you just kind of miss out on some damage. Some fights it was much more essential. But yeah, it's just in three I was so burnt out by combat, or lack thereof combat.
Right. Right.
And like, without the attractions, I mean, yes, I could fight without them, but then it just felt like a way worse Kingdom Hearts 2.
Right.
So, I don't know. They put all this time and effort and visuals and money into the attractions being pretty and so crazy that everything else kind of sucked.
And you know what? That brings up a good point that I want to talk about real quick. I want to reiterate that I purchased the PS4 Pro for this, because I wanted to be able to experience it in its highest fidelity. That game, I don't think ever got more than 45 frames a second on the PS4 Pro, which pissed me off so fucking much, because we weren't going to get a PC port, or I believed that for the rest of my life, we were never going to see a PC port of this game. And we were stuck with this shitty experience that they decided to roll out. Even on performance mode, it sucks. Like, I especially after you gave us 1 and 2 remastered in 60 frames per second, how the fuck would you be able to justify giving that sort of experience on a PS4 Pro to get, like, that kind of frame rate? How is it not optimized enough? You had a fucking decade to work on it.
Yeah, like, when I first used those fucking attractions and stuff, and it felt a little laggy, I thought it was just kind of powerful. I was like, oh, yeah, it's, like, slowing down. It's, like, a massive big hit and whatnot. By, like, the 10th time, I'm like, oh, no, it just really optimized poorly, and I wish it was faster. This damn cutscene would be over already, please.
Right. And the cutscenes in the game, they switch between, like, pre-rendered and while in engine. I think I'll try to give them a positive for that. It does look good whenever they do transition between those, but the rest of the game is just so optimized poorly that it doesn't matter how good the game looks. It's it's really just detracting from the entire experience because you decide, and this was a huge problem back around this time too, especially with a lot of games. A lot of games and studios were valuing the fidelity aspect of like the visuals or the sound or and everything like that. Not to be like, you know, combative against it. I think you should always reach for, you know, better if you can. But at the same time, when it comes at the cost of the actual experience of the gameplay, it doesn't make sense that you would make a game around that. And so I just don't understand where the miscommunication must have come in if you're taking, you know, how are playtesters not reacting to this either? Like, how are playtesters not saying, okay, like, I was in combat for this amount of time. I spent this amount of time using an attraction because I could, because it was the easiest thing to do. Because the more fun thing to do is to hack and slash, the classic way. But even then, like, I think they had made it just so fluid and almost to a fault to where, like, you can go through the whole thing, literally just tap A and just get through the fight. At least, like, with 2 and 1, especially 1, you did have to think your way through those fights and you had to be pretty conscious about it. The closest thing to that in 3 is that you go to the nearest cluster of enemies and you blow them up with your fucking boat. Like, that's it.
I just want to say, bro said press A when he bought a PS4.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
to hit triangle in 60 FPS.
And you know what? That's PlayStation's fucking fault. You know, that's not mine. You know, if you had kept up that level of quality and you made more games worth buying a PS5 over, I probably would be still saying things like X. So, what is that called in marketing? Relevancy. So you might want to figure that out. You know what I'm saying?
About some Instagram loading screens. That's relevant.
It's just, who was that game for?
I don't know.
That's my question. Like, who, I know you wanted, like, Frozen fans to get in on this shit. Fine. Give me a shitty Frozen level if you need to draw on that many fans. But why with Instagram? Why with, like, all these weird terms that you're, like, coming up with? And, like, they use some of the more, like, it looks so dated now when you look at those loading screens because some of that was, like, lingo from back then.
Yeah.
And I just hate whenever people, like, include that in their games. Things, I don't know. Like, to me, it's, like, the opposite of, like a 2010s charm. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like detracting, you know? It's because, like, at least with the 80s, like, you'd be like, oh, 80s, and you know exactly what you're thinking about. You're thinking about, like, vibrant, you know, pink, purple, you know, fucking grid lines, you know, fucking all that shit that you think about when you think about, like, hair bands and things. And that, it all has, like, this very specific central charm to it. And the same thing was, you know, with 1 and 2, they each have their own charm. Like, I would recommend 1 if you are looking for a more difficult experience, frankly, because it's because of the way that the gameplay works. You have to adapt a bit differently than you would on, like, 2. 2 is a better game, in my opinion, and it's way better and more fluid in its combat. There's a little bit of a chunk where, you know, you can turn off your brain a little bit, but what draws you back in are the environments and the story, because some of the other modes that they included too, like, I'm remembering a section in 2 where you, Hollow Bastion specifically, you get a skateboard in some other parts too, but that was like a unique kind of thing, a way to get around, and they didn't have to do that. You know, so it kind of gives Hollow Bastion and 2 like a different kind of, you know, vibe experience. You know, do you want to skate through it or do you want to fight through it? So there aren't nearly as many choices like that in Kingdom Hearts 3 too. You're literally just going through the thing and then you get talked shit to. You fight a boss that they conjure and then you run and then you go to the next place because everything's fine now. So, like, it's not even interesting from, like, an outline perspective. So I don't get it. I also just don't get, like, why it's praised. Because I know that the 3 of us are outliers with these opinions. So if you like Kingdom Hearts, give us an entire dissertation as to why you think it's good or why we're wrong or why whatever. I want to hear from you. But with that, I'm going to let Cal speak.
One thing, I think the thing is that a lot of people, it's not so much praise per se what I see, it's that they'll say it's a good game, but not as good as 2 or it's okay. It gets too much hate, things like that.
Maybe I'm just so sensitive to like the praise of it, because like it just boggles my mind to have gone through that as much as I did and to be so dissatisfied, and for others, not other people that claim to be fans, you know, that seem to enjoy it. And I don't get it. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I have a different take. I actually love Kingdom Hearts 3.
Let me just say your address real quick. I'm just kidding.
Dox me. So, everything that Cynical and Painter said, obviously, I agree with. Hit the nail on the head repeatedly. Doesn't really leave me with, like, too much, I guess.
Give your own version of it. Just give your own version of it.
Yeah, I got very far in the game. I got near the end. I'll just say that much. I went through all the worlds. Did stuff, went back. I did a lot. I'll just put it that way. I bought the deluxe sets where you get like the little like keychain, the art book, everything. I think it was like $200, something like that.
Oh shit!
Like the online pre-digital order. I can't remember what it was.
Didn't that come with a statue of Sora too?
If I remember correctly, I got it on my shelf somewhere, collecting dust like it should. I have always been a massive fanboy for Kingdom Hearts. Axel's my boy. I used to stream on Twitch. I had my buddy made a custom art of Axel wearing like a band t-shirt of Vanna, like Trivium. And that was like one of my background things for like, I was super into Kingdom Hearts. I've like thought about getting a tattoo throughout my life, and I've always kind of thought about integrating a keyblade into it somehow. Not anymore.
I wanted to get the like Shadow Heart thing.
Remember that. Yeah. Now it would be something more D&D related with like the D&D dice and a sword, like that kind of a generic thing. I have some ideas for getting a tattoo eventually, but I just haven't ever pulled the trigger. Either way. I put a lot of time and effort into it. A lot of waiting. I went back and I replayed every game I could, except Dream Drop, because I was just burnt out by then. I watched all the lore videos, all the deep dives. I really tried my best to grasp every bit of lore and what the fuck was going on. I even played the mobile game for a bit just to get more lore out of it. I thought the movie where they went into like way back when, I thought that was a really cool cinematic. Sheesh, Birth by Sleep. I went through all of it, man. And Kingdom Hearts 3 came out. And I'm like, let's fucking go. I got this. Like, I'm so excited. It's going to be a culmination of everything they've learned throughout all the games. Because they did a card game. They did a puzzle game. They did a 3D platform. They did a more heavy hack and slash, like, floaty game. You know, I think you guys can figure out which one I'm talking about, respectively, per game.
Mm-hmm.
They did a mobile game. They did the 358 over 2, which allows you to have a bunch of different allies all through Organization 13. I was like, man, they've probably learned so much. They know everything that worked in all the games. They know everything that didn't work in all the games. Like, they are going to knock it out of the park, and there's no way they're not going to do it. Start playing 3, and Sora's an idiot immediately. There's all kinds of weird side things going on. Xehanort has turned this story into a clusterfuck of time travel and paradoxes, which makes no sense. And if you want to do mental gymnastics to make it make sense, go for it. But my thing is, if you write yourself into a corner so bad where you need time travel to write yourself out like they did in Kingdom Hearts, you fucked the story and you are basically using a crutch like of time travel to write yourself out of that corner.
Jumping the shark, so to say.
Yeah, it's so obvious why they had to do it. And it definitely, there's no way it was their intention. And I believe even the writer, the creator of Kingdom Hearts, that can't even like tell you the story. Like, I remember there was like some sort of thread about that where like he literally said, like, you know, it's, we're just trying to write it as we go.
I mean, true. And like, I appreciate the candidness in that because I know it's hard to write a story, you know, it's not. It's definitely not easy, and especially whenever it spans across so many games, like, it can't be easy to write a story as convoluted as this. But I definitely agree with you. I think they were just trying to jump the shark, and I think 3 was the wrong time to do it. I don't think you needed to involve time travel at all. You already had so many interesting aspects about the way that you travel between these worlds and the characters in them and their relationship with Sora and the Final Fantasy characters. Mm-hmm. Like, Hades and Cloud acting as a mercenary, you know, which is fucking canonically true in the Final Fantasy game, working for Hades is just like, it's so good. And you weren't able to implement any of that interesting, any of the interesting aspects of any of these games, like from a story level into 3. And it's just so disappointing.
Yeah. One of Kingdom Hearts' strengths is crossover. And it didn't. There's no Final Fantasy characters? Really?
Yeah. There was no crossovers.
Beyond Disney.
Man, that was another thing I noticed. Like, I was just waiting and waiting for them to come up. I thought it was going to be one of those cool hero moments where, like, you see an anime all the time where your back's against the wall, you're going to lose, and all of a sudden, like, zing, there's, like, some sort of, like, cling, and there's, like, some light blinding, and then you see, you know, like Cloud or something blocking a strike to save Sora. Like, I was just waiting for epic, some sort of moment, and it just never happened. Instead, I got, this is a movie you didn't care about. How about you watch it?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes hit triangle. Would you like that? You want to do that? Well, you're going to. Repeatedly in every world. And I couldn't believe that's what the game loop was. And I can't believe how watered down everything felt. Like I said, like, there was like a cool rotation, like a dance to combat in the last games. And in 3, it just wasn't there. It felt really stale. If you didn't use attractions, it just was like, meh. If you did use attractions, it was like, ooh, oh, I killed everything. Eh. I don't know. It just, it didn't hit any of the marks I wanted in combat. It missed them all completely in story. And I had to watch, I just watched cutscenes for the rest of it to figure out what happened because I was so burnt and bored and tired. And I just didn't give a fuck anymore. And when I watched the finale and the cutscenes and everything, I didn't even feel spoiled because I just didn't care that much. I just didn't care about the story and how they did the resolution. It was supposed to be the last game.
Right.
And just to be another, you know, hey, some more fuckery is going on. Ha 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 ha. It's like, oh, great. Fantastic. I'll see you in 10 years when you make another bastardized version of this franchise.
Right. And what is it? We're going on 6 years now. 6 years now since the release of Kingdom Hearts 3, and now we're approaching 4. And I gotta say, if they're going into 4 with the same kind of mindset, the same kind of methods of production, or the same kind of intentions, even, because to me, like, 3 just feels like a fucking, like, advertisement. It's just a big, gigantic fucking advertisement that I paid $100 for, you know? So, like, if it goes in anywhere towards that direction, I don't see, like, I mean, like, I was wrong with 3, right? Like, so people seem to like the game, at least generally, or, you know, they regard it, you know, as you know, not as good as 2, but still a good game. I completely disagree. But if I'm wrong about that, then I would love to be, actually. but I think it's going to take bringing back those Final Fantasy characters into the mix and stop fighting over fucking rights and Disney stop being like so protective over your IPs that any mention of any other character outside of these IPs could pose a threat to the way that you make your money. Like it's ruining everything. It's seeped into our games now, and it's the most annoying thing in the fucking world to have to deal with. So I'm not personally hyped at all for 4. I'm probably at some point in my life going to play it. For me to think that I have anything to expect beyond the same thing, possibly even worse than 3, I have no reason to be invested in it anymore. So I just don't see myself playing it. Even if it looks good, even if it looks like the games now pretty much look like the cutscenes looked in Kingdom Hearts 1, which when you're a kid, that's what you always wanted. And now that it's gotten there, the story's bad and the combat is too simple. And like nothing about it is drawing your attention anymore. And that to me is just sad to think that like I've lost this thing that I used to be so passionate about.
You know, it's the visuals and the name that draws your attention, and then there's nothing to keep your attention.
Exactly, because none of the original elements are there anymore.
And I know you can say like maybe some of the original writers aren't there anymore, or they just got lost in all the things going on. It's been 20 years. Like I kind of get to a point, but there's not many excuses to make that make me happy. I'll just like really quickly, I can't remember all the things I hate about the game. I've talked so much shit about this game so many years in a row in that whole franchise. I don't even care about 4 at all, like in the slightest. But like, I'm just going to go through like a quick like list of like generally what people think. I'm just going to kind of jump in on it. Some of the bad things, the Keyblade Graveyard, cool area. I wish I could have explored it, but no. And you can kind of do it in like the mobile game, Birth by Sleep, shit like that. But it's like that was one of the biggest things, finales I looked forward to, and it was really bland. The Keyblade transformations and shit took so much out of combat, just like the attractions did. I thought they were lame. I would have rather just had more Keyblades, more summons and stuff like that. I thought the transformations were pretty stupid and trivialized a lot of stuff.
I can't even remember them. Yeah.
Yeah, like there's like a Winnie the Pooh hammers. I don't know. It just wasn't great. Like what else? Like I didn't feel like any of the twists in the game like got me. Like Diz from Kingdom Hearts 2, that was a cool twist. Like there was a lot of cool shit in Kingdom Hearts 2 that just had me glued to the screen. Like I was waiting for the next twist, next reveal. Who's gonna be the next bad guy I fight? Who's gonna be the next person that unhoods, like takes their hood off, and I get to see their new cool weapon and everything. I was always looking forward to something. What else is bad? Sora's an idiot, like I said. I just can't stand it.
Yeah. It's definitely frustrating.
Maps were too big.
You think they were too big? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They were like, some of them were like Frozen. Everybody talks to you about Frozen, but man, Frozen. Toy Story, everybody talks good about. And Toy Story, yeah, Toy Story was good.
I actually did enjoy the Toy Story level. But
yeah, that was fine. I think there was like there's some weird cooking system. I don't remember interacting with it much. I don't remember if it was good or bad.
I can't remember.
But it existed.
Oh, you know what? I did like, okay, there's a bit of a discourse about like the way that gummy ships worked in 3 that I think is worth talking about. So personally, I was extremely surprised whenever I got into a gummy ship the first time, especially being that it was in 3D space. I thought it was a step forward personally going into those spaces. But looking back now, I think something that could have made it better was being able to travel from planet to planet in that space. Because I think you still had to go on like a trail. I might be wrong, and I'm okay with being wrong, but I'm pretty sure that you had to like go like like in Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, you just like kind of Galaga'd your way through, or Star Fox your way through the levels like that. But the 3D space that you get in 3, I thought was very interesting. I felt like that could have been a point of the game where you could have made a whole, it could have been more in depth, I think. Like, I think if you would have had more of an incentive to stick around and really mess with like the gummy ships and the parts and everything like that, at least in my experience, then I think it would have been a much better experience there. That was probably one of my favorite parts about it, and the thing that I think I look forward to the most, except for the fact that it's another one of those things that it's been a problem in all the games, but there are times where like you just have to do things that you don't want to do, i.e. like Atlantica in 2. It's not that you don't want to do them in 3, but it's just that like if you're trying to get through the story and you're just trying to move forward, then these feel like it brings the game to a halt. And I think that does terribly for the pacing. I don't think you're getting like too much more out of it. I think it should have just been something extra that you can do to like go explore like around space and to gather resources to create new gummy ship builds. So that way, when you go travel to the next world, you're that much more prepared. Maybe you get like new guns, or you find a secret and you get like a special gun, or like, you know, something like that, you know? I didn't really get that feeling from that, and there might have been special guns. Maybe I just didn't find them. Like, I'm okay with being wrong on that, but like that just happened to be how it turned out for me. And that has a lot of potential, and I am curious. It's one of the only reasons why I would check out 4 is I'm curious as to how that's going to work in 4, if that gets fleshed out more. I'd say like one of the bigger positives of that game.
Yeah, I mean, okay, positives. It looked good. I don't know if I liked Sora's design too much, but enemies looked really cool.
I think so.
The worlds in general kind of like they looked good, even though they were too big. The gummy ship open world fighting thing, like that was like I was like a little off put at first, but when I got used to it, it was actually really cool.
What would you say is the most visually striking world?
Oh man, yeah, God, it's been so long. It's like hard for me to like remember.
I think I'm stuck between like, because Toy Story was really cool because you started off in Andy's room and then you went outside, and that was all kind of like
then you
one
go to
level.
The Toy Story too. Like I feel like Toy Story was probably one of the more diverse ones that actually did look really nice.
And I will say I
liked. Was it Olympus? Yeah, Olympus. You actually got to explore Olympus.
Yes,
that
was
cool. Like it, and it looked good too.
It was just too big.
Yeah, but and I remember like riding the rails like in Olympus, and it looked good. Like it looked great, and I do remember really it was one of the early worlds. I remember going like, hell yeah, they expanded on this. And at that point I didn't feel like I was really playing a movie either, so it started off kind of strong, I guess.
I think so. I think like it was. I was led to believe that it was going to be a lot better than it was. Go ahead, Painter. Sorry.
No. Yeah, I'm glad I got the peak of the experience, but even that wasn't enough for me to keep going. Yikes.
I mean, yeah. What can you
glad
do?
Glad we can affirm that for you.
So, as a conclusion, I think I. Even though that I think that like Kingdom Hearts 3 went in a terrible direction, and I'm frankly not very hopeful for 4, I still love like 1 and 2. I don't like Chain of Memories or Re-Chain of Memories, but I think it still stands out to me as a very interesting idea. And even though I don't think the extent of that idea can be explored, whether it's through like licensing issues or whatever the fuck they want to say about it, if we ever had like a true return to form, I think that would be very, very fucking cool, because that was one of those things that brought people together. It's kind of like whenever Jay-Z and Linkin Park did an album together, and it was like one of the first big moments in music history where rap and rock were like, yeah. And, you know, this was kind of the same thing, like movie goers, the fans of Disney, and then like video game, you know, gamers, you know, they were kind of united on a single front. We're like, dude, Kingdom Hearts was fucking cool. And I feel like now we're going to be kind of disconnected because of that. Because now half of us are, I don't know what the fucking range is on that. I'm totally speaking out of my ass there. But like, there has to be some more of us that think that this game sucks. And, you know, I'm struggling to even conjure, like, in any facet, a way to make this game interesting without, like, removing attractions and without integrating Final Fantasy characters and without just, like, redoing the whole story, basically rebooting it. If we got one again rebooted with Unreal 5 with updated fucking combat and all that shit, I would shit my fucking pants. I would buy that game instantly. It'd be like Oblivion remastered, but for fucking Kingdom Hearts 1. That would be so dope.
I think when they did the remixing for everything, they did really good by 1 and 2 and Birth by Sleep and all those, because they were close to the original game, just upscaled, and some things were like slightly tweaked. And I think there wasn't really anything bad about them.
So much more content.
Chain of Memories, they should have just kept it like the original card game. I wish I could have actually played through 58 over 2, and I wish that, you know, some of the installments that, you know, like Coded and everything, I wish I could have just played those in their original forms just on the PS4. I don't think it would have been too difficult. I mean, why would you remake a game completely and ruin it instead of just, like, making it as close to it was prior? I just don't understand. But I feel like with all of that, like when they re-release that massive collection, that's when they should have done small tweaks to fix continuity, fix canon. Even if you have to change some parts of a game, just do it. Get us like that was supposed to get us ready for 3. That was supposed to be the thing that allowed us to experience the whole entirety of Kingdom Hearts and get new backstories, new lore, all this new cool stuff, and all in one disc or two discs, whatever it was. And they should have just fixed it right there, just rewrote what they had to and fixed whatever game systems they had to. And then from there, released 3 and used everything they learned. And it just feels like they took the lazy way out on a lot of shit on that remastering, and then they learned hardly anything from 3 and were still experimenting, which they saw in so many games. When they experiment and get away from the Kingdom Hearts 2 formula, it does not work. So,
based.
Yeah. I think with 4, I think the story is just, it's done. You can't, like, they just need to ditch it and do something that doesn't make sense. And the game itself needs to be fun if they're going to make 4. I think they just need something simple and clean.
No! Oh, God damn it! Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to end it on that.
Yeah, I'm not saying shit after that. I'm not following that.
Thank you for joining us on this side quest through Kingdom Hearts. And if there's more content that we should be trying to deep dive into, please leave a comment on like our YouTube video or anywhere that we can see your comments posted, and we'll try to take a look at it. But thank you so much for joining us. You'll be able to find this on YouTube. We'll probably have a section on our podcast just for side quests like this. You can find us on TikTok, YouTube, Spotify, anywhere that you can listen to a podcast. And we hope that you will join us on the next episode. See you later.
Critical Debug. Side quest.
Side quest.